Committee on State Government Innovation and Veterans will be in order. Today is Wednesday, February 15, 2012. We're going to skip around on the agenda quick here. We're going to move Senator Nelson up, and we'll start with Senate File 1656, and we'll be discussing high school academic standards and graduation requirements as we move forward here. Before we get started, maybe I could call on our Ms. James to explain to us why this bill is in front of our committee.
Mr. Chair and members, this bill is before the committee because of this committee's jurisdiction over rulemaking. And one of the things this bill does is gives the legislature a role in responding to rules, proposed rules. And so it fits within this committee's jurisdiction.
All right. Thank you very much, Ms. James. Let the record show that we do have a quorum here this afternoon. Welcome, Senator Nelson. And why don't you, first for the record, state your name, and then you can move forward on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Carla Nelson, and I'm here to present Senate File 1656 to you, if somebody would like to move that for me.
Yes, Mr. Chair, Senator Nelson. I would move that Senate File 1656 be recommended to pass and sent to the floor.
Thank you for that. And
I'd like to hear the bill first.
That was a fast hearing, Senator Dobson. I know you have other things to do.
It's a second stop, isn't it?
Senator Thompson, I'm sure you're going to move the bill so we can discuss it, correct?
Yes.
All right. On that motion, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. On to the bill, Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Senator Thompson. I appreciate that. What I'd like to do is just tell you briefly what the bill's about. It's very simple. I'll give you just a little bit of history. In 2003, the Minnesota legislature repealed the Profile of Learning. Some of us were a part of that. I happened to be in the other body at the time. But as you know, we repealed that Profile of Learning and replaced it with academic standards. In 2004, the legislature approved the academic standards for social studies. What I'm asking today, Senate File 1656 merely states that before the social studies standards are revised, that they at least come to the legislature for approval again, just as they did in 2004. So basically, I'm proposing that we do what we have done in the past. We have asked the commissioner has reviewed the standards. And prior to adoption of those standards, Senate File 1656 simply states that the legislature will approve or that the commissioner will adopt those academic standards after the legislature has approved those standards. And so it's taking it out of rulemaking, putting it before the legislature where it belongs and where it was initially.
All right. Any questions for Senator Nelson? Senator Wigger.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I didn't have any questions, so I would yield if anyone has questions just to comment, to weigh in on opinion.
I think you go ahead, Senator Wigger.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and members, and Senator Nelson, I appreciate your efforts and sincerity on this and commitment to the standards. I, too, share that, as do all of our colleagues, but I don't believe we need to go to the level of legislative intervention at this point. I believe the process that's in place by the commissioner provides a great deal of input by a variety of groups, and I guess it's just a matter of opinion as to how much additional oversight the legislature wants. And clearly there would be additional involvement and time and I guess it's a judgment call. My preference is that the what we have established right now, we can always have the committee do an overview or review or seek an amendment to change something. The commissioner does not unilaterally adopt these standards. It goes through a great deal of vetting by any number of stakeholder groups, and I believe that that process is very transparent, open. It has a great deal of input for the rulemaking process. So I would support that, and I would say that this just adds additional layer that where we've already had that involvement, and we do have that ability to weigh in again. So I would respectfully oppose the bill.
Right. Thank you, Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Nelson, has this already been heard in Education Committee? And could you give us a little recap of how the dialogue, the conversation went?
Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Carlson, yes, it has. It passed out of the Education Committee. There was testimony on the bill. The testimony was in favor of, except from the department, I shall say. The department was not in favor of this bill, but the testifiers who testified for this bill felt that the standards are really the most important thing that we put out there as far as education. Every one of us in this room knows that the education of our youth is the most important thing we can do. And we've talked in education about how the teacher is the most important in-school variable to student success, but what that teacher teaches is dependent upon the standards. And the standards were adopted in 2004, and the commissioner was to cyclically revise and realign the academic standards. What we have found is that from all sectors, the standards were not revised and realigned. They were actually completely changed. So from the very conservative end, you have the Fordham Foundation rating them with a D. And then you have on the more liberal end, the Southern Poverty Law Center saying the New Minnesota proposed standards are an F. So there's a lot of room there for a discussion about the social studies standards. And I will submit to you that the standards are the bones that our education is built upon. So it's very important that the standards we're asking our students to learn, that we're asking our teachers to teach, reflect what we believe is important for our students. And there has been some controversy about the standards as they have been proposed so far. Now, just a little bit of history. Up until about, I think it was about 1998, maybe the late 90s, we had a school board. We had an elected Minnesota Board of Education. So those people were elected, and they would have done things like set standards. But when we dissolved that Board of Education, the legislature took upon itself some of those responsibilities from the Board of Education. We are the elected entities that need to speak on behalf of our constituents. And so for transparency's sake, and because the legislature has taken on those roles that the Board of Education, the elected Board of Education, had at one time, it's important that we continue to have the ability for the legislature not to design the standards, but merely the legislation says to the commissioner cannot finally adopt them without legislation from us enacted legislation for her to do that. So it's a matter of transparency. Some of us were in the Jobs Committee where Justice, our ALJ, Eric Lippman, Judge Lippman, talked about how the Constitution gives unalienable rights to citizens who then vote in legislators. And then as legislators, sometimes we give those rights to rulemaking authority. And I submit to you that standards, which are the most important thing that we can have for our students, belongs in the legislative branch, just as they were adopted in 2004. So we adopted the standards in 2004. Before they are revised, this legislation is simply asking that the legislature again approve those standards.
Follow-up, Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Senator Nelson, could you identify who some of the testifiers were?
Yes.
Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for that opportunity. David O'Fallon from the Minnesota Humanities Center felt that the process was flawed and testified in support of this bill. Debbie Daniels, Doctor of Political Science from the U of M, also testified the same, as did James Tracy, PhD, History Professor at the U of M. I also have a letter here from the Southern Poverty Law Center, which has asked, says the grade F means the Minnesota includes none or less than 20% of the recommended content and should significantly revise its standards. So the point being, in something as important as standards, and something particularly one might say the social studies standards might have the most room for differences of opinion as far as what should be taught, does not belong in an unelected body. It definitely belongs in the elected body. That's our job. We're called upon to speak for our constituents and to make those decisions that we think are in the best interest of Minnesotans.
Senator Hayden.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Senator Nelson, for bringing this bill. I'm learning education policy as we go and then also trying to understand this kind of rulemaking phenomenon that we have here. I think that as I listen to your testimony, what I'm a little confused, and I'm going to try to formulate a question with it, is that we started out by saying that the teachers are the most important person in our children's life and that education professionals are really the folks that really teach our kids and have an impact in their lives. So then we now have a process in which we have given teachers and education professionals from all sectors the ability to kind of make the rules and kind of decide what the content would be, what the standards are, and even probably how it should be taught. And it sounds to me like we want to take this process that we did in 04 and put it into a legislative process, which makes it political by nature. And then we start a political fight or a legislative fight that ultimately around here becomes political to decide what our standards are going to be. And so though I can appreciate the conservative foundations and the liberal foundations are saying, some say it's a little too conservative, some say it's not liberal enough or it doesn't teach them what they want. But I think that it appears to me that this bill would be problematic because we would take something that appears to be already political, though with the group of folks that are our education professionals. And if we need to revamp that group, I think there's an opportunity to do that, depending on who they are, and now put it in a hyper-political process that I think becomes even more problematic for our children, since now there are teachers there's teachers, but the legislature isn't made up of education professionals. And so we're getting a bunch of people who aren't education professionals who now want to weigh in on standards that often may not be in the best interest of children. It may be in the best interest of, well, let me say that better in a better way. We all are thinking about the best interests of children, but it may be through the lens in which we bring to the table. And that's where I'm really worried that we're going to lose our objectivity of education professionals to really help us walk through this and not take it through my lens or your lens, Mr. Chair, or your lens, Senator Nelson. And then we kind of establish a process that, depending upon who is in the leadership of the legislature, becomes kind of what our standards are going to be. I think this is problematic. I agree with Senator Wieger. I think that we should look at taking a look at the rulemaking process and then the group that is doing it. But I think to elevate this to the legislature and for them to change to enact this law, I think would be problematic. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any further discussion? Senator Olson.
I apologize for being late and not being part of the whole discussion. Having been through all of this for many years, including being the one who carried the bill to abolish the State Board of Education, I think for some reasons that they did become very powerful. They weren't elected. They were appointed. I will correct you on that one that one point, and most people didn't know who their state board of education member was, but they did have the power to pass rules, and which had the force and effect of law. And at the time, they had gone through some processes that even the governor was wishing he had the power to change membership on that board, and didn't. And part of this, I've been struggling with this myself. We've got English and math, some of our core foundational ones that we usually start with. And that, it's made me boils down to how much emphasis you want to put on things. We're dealing with some pretty straightforward framework. When you get to social studies, you change, history is one thing, economics, geography, some of the key areas. But what was happening this time around, it appeared that instead of revising and updating, we only got a C from some of the institutions that had reviewed them on our 2004 ones. They weren't perfect. But the idea of revision would be to strengthen and improve them, not rewrite them. And I think what we saw was some significant rewriting, including some elimination of references or any standard that related to some of our foundational documents in our country, things that are rather critical to who we are as Americans and what our form of government is. And I have a hard time when we're dealing with areas that do have those differences of opinion. Is our public system set up to be an indoctrination of one kind or another? I don't agree with it one way or the other. And I think there should be, maybe we shouldn't be setting standards in these areas that are of disagreement. We should be allowing parents to make more choices. And I think that, as I was mentioning to in the committee, that the argument of this is definitely for more school choice. If we're going to establish standards, they're in conflict with whether it's belief systems or whatever, then we are asking for some trouble and we are asking for greater pressure, and legitimately so, that parents should have some rights there. We do have a provision in law that allows parents to have access to instructional materials, and if they object to in curriculum, that if they object, they can choose an alternative. The school does not necessarily have to provide it, but their students cannot be academically penalized for having made that choice. But when we get into standards and we put them in rule that have the force and effect of law, we're essentially undermining that choice. And there are a couple of areas of our curriculum that we're working toward on standards that have great potential for getting into that area. And the idea of the social studies kind of taking on just a civic engagement focus rather than staying with strengthening a good balance of presentation of history, the bad and the good. We've got records, and young people should be learning that. And I'd love to see those. And I think as a legislature, you can call us political or not, but I don't think there's any one of us around here that doesn't have a heart for a good, strong education system, a public education system. And we want to have children well educated and be able to make those kinds of decisions, not to use it as a means of indoctrination. And that's what we were concerned. You can talk about the professionals, but there are professionals in each of these areas, and the people that were testifying were very concerned that short shrift was being given to some of these standard areas that are a part of that block of social studies in deference to things that had lent more toward opinions and views and beliefs that may not be totally agreed on. So that's why I think the legislature needs to retain some oversight, not suggesting that we need to sit at the table and write standards. And I don't think that that's what Senator Nelson is pushing for. But I think we have a process that we need to follow and that we ought to retain oversight and not cop out on an important responsibility for our citizens and leave that entirely to however the executive branch, the department, the agency, the bureaucracy would see fit to put it together and to create the rules. So that's kind of where I'm coming from on it, and I hate to see this become a big area of controversy, but I think we do need to understand that this is one of the subject areas that has that potential for disagreement and even the looking like it's indoctrination, and we shouldn't go there.
Thank you very much. Further discussion,
Mr. Chair.
Senator Wigger.
Yes,
let me stop you here. I think I've been very lenient. I do not want to dissect this bill. It has been done so in education. We're specifically looking at the rural side of it. So with that, Senator Wigger.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for the reminder and the admonition. But again, for the record, we have a rulemaking process, and there is a great deal of robust public input. There's town meetings, there's hearings, there's the inline, online opportunities for discussion. Senator Olson pointed out the concern that we not rewrite or micromanage everything. I can assure you that can very well happen. If there is something, a particular part of the standard that you don't like, maybe you are going to want to rewrite that, and then the whole book's there. And you can probably find an interest group that's going to advocate any particular thing. We have a diversity of opinions that are provided in this rulemaking process now. And I would point out that business, and I don't know if anyone's here from the Chamber of Commerce, but we had business actively involved in the math standards that were approved in 2007. That was very inclusive. Do we want to go through that as well? We have some oversight, and we can weigh in as needed, but to fully take over, I don't think it's appropriate, and that's why I'm voting no.
All right. Thank you. Senator Thompson moves that Senate File 1656 be recommended to pass and sent to the floor. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign?
No.
Motion prevails. Thank you, Senator Nelson. Next on the agenda is Senate File 1614, Senator Daley.
Senator Daley, excuse us.
I sat down here. We decided to move you instead of my having to get up.
No problem. And while Senator Daley comes up, could you, Miss James, is that one of those moments? Miss James, could you just go through this bill real quick and explain to the committee why it's in front of us?
Mr. Chair and members, this bill creates a new board, and creation of boards and commissions and anything of that nature is within the jurisdiction of this committee.
Thank you very much, Ms. James. You know, I said this last year, Senator Daley. You need to know that I, for one, am not real keen on boards, commissions, growing agencies, whatever it is. So I'm going to listen intently to this. I see some interesting things here. So I just wanted to let you know that that's the way I have been. And knowing that, please introduce yourself for the record. You may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members, Senator Ted Daley. And I, too, share that same feeling, and with great hesitation and a lot of research before I even signed on to this bill, had those same concerns, Mr. Chairman. Senate File 1614 is a bill I refer to as the Small Business Regulatory Relief Act. First, I want to begin by setting a positive tone by saying thank you to all of our job creators. thank you for doing business in Minnesota. Minnesota is a great place to live, and it's a great place to set up a business. We have a superb quality of life, clean air, and clean water. And to paraphrase Garrison Keillor, all of our kids are above average. But we can't rest on our laurels. We now live in a globally competitive jobs environment, so all levels of government need to move at the speed of 21st century commerce. During tours of various large and small businesses throughout Minnesota, we've heard repeatedly from our job creators about their concerns of the need to improve the tax structure, relief from an unhelpful regulatory environment at all levels, ever-increasing healthcare costs and base energy costs. We need to do what we can to improve the employment atmosphere in Minnesota, and this bill is designed to give our small business owner a bigger platform to suggest changes to rules that will allow businesses to operate with more efficiency and cost effectiveness. When they are able to do so, we can expect them to prosper and hire more Minnesotans. I'd like to take you through the bill, members, and if you could pull that out. It is the first engrossment. In the Jobs Committee, Senator Tomasoni and Senator Metzen and I huddled three-quarters of the way through the testimony. We took a little recess. We had some discussions, and we made a number of changes. I'll start with Section 2. That is highlighting that
Mr.
proposed
Chair,
rules.
Are there any extra copies of this? I don't have that in my folder, so.
Hang tight, Senator Daley, here while we make sure everyone has the bill.
I have the description of it, but not the. Thank you.
You may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Section 2, we're highlighting that this board is created to review proposed rules or revisions to existing rules. So existing, revisions, or proposed new rules. Section 3, we changed the composition of the membership. When we started out, it had 11 members. Because we wanted it to be balanced, we changed it, and it now is 14 members. So there are two members of the public appointed by the Speaker, two members of the public appointed by the Senate, and two by the Governor. And those are the six small business owners that would participate. Then there are eight members of the legislature, four in each body, two by each caucus. Moving to Section 4, we touch on reports and recommendations, and you'll see that that creates a barrier to the formation, operation, or expansion of business, or it increases the cost of conducting business, or it requires additional compliance. That's what we focus on here. That's what the Small Business Regulatory Review Board would be looking at. Not limited, not including, but not limited to those different areas. So moving along to Section 6, we changed it from review to an review of rules to review of statutes and rules. And we decided that instead of it going on potentially forever, that it would sunset June 30th of 2016. Mr. Chairman, it seems like you're having some discussions there. If there are any questions, I'm ready to answer any questions you may have.
All right, thank you, Senator. I was trying to get a handle on how the members are broke out, so that we have representation laid out, because I'm trying to get a handle on where it says from the majority and the minority parties. Is that in Section B, 2.6? Is that where this is being laid out?
Mr. Chairman, members, it's being laid out from lines 2.6 in the engrossed version, 2.6 to 2.10 as far as the legislative members.
All right, I'm fine with that, Senator Daley. Questions, Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Daley, what do you anticipate that this board or commission would do that the Jobs Committee or Commerce Committee in either body would not be able to do?
Senator Daley.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Carlson, it's a great question. It provides a larger platform and a more thorough process for our small business owners to express their concerns proactively and throughout the year. This board would meet at various times throughout the interim, through session, and as these issues arise, they're able to more thoroughly and with a larger platform be able to express those concerns on proposed, existing, or revised rules, laws, statutes, regulations, that all of the things that concern them.
Senator Carlson.
Additionally, I'd just say that certainly they can already do that. They can go to each of us. They can go to their state reps. They can talk to the agencies. There's nothing that prohibits that right now. This just provides a more thorough platform, a larger platform where it can be discussed and analyzed and more rigorous manner for them to be able to have their voice heard. And it's been done in a couple other states. Hawaii and Wisconsin have these boards, and to varying degrees of success. And if I could, just take a moment, and I've got a couple of notes here on what happened in Hawaii. In 2011, the Hawaii Board made recommendations on 50 sets of new and amended rules and often supported that legislation by submitting testimony on bills of interest to small business. And this is what one of the small business owners, the Hawaii Bar Owners Association, said to the board, and I quote, "I'd like to thank you, members of the board, for all of your help in our discussion of the last draft of the Health Department's administrative rules. It is an effort that I am sure does not often yield overt praise and accolades, but I, for one, am convinced that all of your efforts are for the betterment of everyone here in Hawaii. That includes the business owners, their employees and families, and even the bureaucrats."
Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Senator Daley, what authority then would this board or commission have once they've thoroughly vetted an issue that's brought before them?
Senator Daley.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Carlson, I'd like to just call on Senate counsel, Ms. James, if you could address that from your point of view.
Ms. James.
Mr. Chair and members, on lines 3.7 through 3.10 describes rule adoption. The standing committees of the House of Representatives and Senate with jurisdiction over subject matter of a proposed rule may follow the procedures in section 14.126 when, upon review of the report and recommendations from the board, the committees vote that a proposed rule should not be adopted as proposed. I think I have that statute here. 14.126 describes that if a standing committee of the House of Representatives and the standing committees of the Senate with jurisdiction over the subject matter of a proposed rule both vote to advise an agency that a proposed rule should not be adopted as proposed, the agency may not adopt the rule until the legislature adjourns the annual legislative session that began after the vote of the committees.
Ha 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 ha! Senator Goodwin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Daley, just a couple comments and a couple questions. I really like the idea that you're trying to help our small businesses, because those are the businesses that drive the job engine in Minnesota. And there's a couple of things, though, that concern me, and one is that this is a $10 million project over the 4 years, and I do believe those fiscal numbers may even be a little short of what we'll actually need in the way of agency people working with this board to go through all of the rules and so forth and how they were implemented and why and so forth. So it is a very intensive process here. When I was at the chamber, my local chamber, about a month ago or so, it was a lot of small businesses and a few large businesses, and the room was full because the governor was coming to talk afterwards. And I asked them, because I keep hearing, you know, there's too many regulations on business, too many regulations, and, you know, I'm just not one to say, you know, we're going to create jobs without having a way to say we're going to do it. So I don't like to hear too many regulations without knowing what they are either, and I'm sure you feel the same way. I asked everybody, I handed out paper, and I asked them all to write down some rules and regulations that would be obstructing their business or not allowing them to profit and so forth. And out of that, I think there might have been close to 200 people there. I got about a handful of answers back, and one was from a nursing home that, you know, and I know Health and Human Services has kind of piled on stuff year after year, and maybe not enough has been taken back. So, but outside of that, I really got just property taxes and stuff, and so I was really kind of surprised there wasn't a much larger list since there were so many businesses represented there. So I'm just wondering if it would make maybe more sense and maybe be give us the same benefit if we could survey a lot of the small businesses and find out what are those things that are really preventing them from making a profit or are really imposing hardships on their business, and then come back here and take a look at all that and have them come and testify and try to fix some of those things that make sense. My final comment is that the governor did implement a program last year among the agencies to try to help them get through their rules and regulations and try to figure out what might be a problem. So there is some action going on at that level, at the agency level. So outside of that, I guess, you know, I'm not opposed to this particularly, except that I do think we could do it in a less expensive, maybe.
Mr. Chairman. Excuse me, Senator Goodwin, where did you come up with the $10 million figure?
The fiscal note, Mr. Chair, says that the agency, where is that here? Here it is. It summarizes the projected cost for this level of staff support that they would need to comply with this, and each year it's 2.5. I assume that's in millions. Yes, it is. 2.5 million each year for the next 4 years. Pardon? Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. The total cost is a half or a quarter of a million each year. So that would make it more like
$1 million.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Sorry about that.
Senator Daley, you wanted to respond.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Goodwin, members, we addressed the first comment about the cost. It's significantly less than what your first reaction was.
Right.
And I am very concerned about the cost. And so I, too, share that concern about creating more government and more bureaucracy. Yep. However, this is an opportunity for businesses who I react the same way. I've put that out, and I'm looking for specifics, and oftentimes don't hear that when you put them to the task right on the spot. What is it exactly that is this burdensome regulation? At what level is it? Oh, it's all kinds of things. Well, specifically, what is it? There are many, many items, and there are specifics, though it's difficult to get that out of them at times. For that very reason, this platform allows for that and facilitates that, which most times, would not otherwise happen. There's a channel, an avenue, an opportunity for them so that we can hear the specifics and we can tear pages of statute out that aren't applicable, that don't make sense anymore. And we've seen that in other states that have done this, in Hawaii and Wisconsin. It has facilitated those conversations that otherwise would not happen.
Thank you, Senator Daley. Senator Hayden?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and Senator Daley, thank you for bringing the bill forward. I think it is an important notion. I am a little concerned, though, I'd say, Senator Daley, and I know that you've been working with some of my colleagues on the Jobs Committee and moving this forward. I think my concern is that I have watched over this past year our chair and others talk about reducing the boards and commissions. And there was a sunset commission, and there was this rigorous process of looking through each and every committee and what's in statute and what are we paying for. And they kind of came up with a group of recommendations. We just had our illustrious chair's bill the other day that kind of wanted to cut the administration in half. And so I, too, am concerned that we are starting another committee that costs, even if it's $2 million, Senator Goodwin, but adding another committee as we are going through a very rigorous process around here, trying to identify where we need to reform government, where it may need to shrink, what is relevant. And I think that I would be very concerned that we are going through that process, but at the same time, kind of adding on another layer, another bureaucracy, another piece of bureaucracy in statute. What I'd rather see, frankly, I've been on board, I've been on, you know, ad hoc commissions that legislative leaders, governors have called that put groups together to talk about this very issue, burdensome regulation, how can we grow business in the state, where government may be in the way, where we can enhance, what's the balance between regulation or not. And I think we can do that in a way that doesn't necessarily cost us the $2 million and that doesn't add this to the statute. I'm concerned that, frankly, this could slow the process down by adding another layer of government. And so it's a little, you know, once again, I play the new game a lot, a little bit. I mean, I've been around just a little bit, but I am new to the Senate, new to this committee, and I've been following our chair's leadership and trying to really understand and what kind of what the direction this committee wants to go and what direction the legislature is leading us. And it seems like this is counter to that. And so I'm just trying to understand how do we do this at the same time, really have a very good, thoughtful process on where how much regulation we have in government, how many committees we have, how many boards we have. The chair and I have talked a lot about the councils of color and their relevance to the state as it moves forward and other boards and committees. And so, Mr. Chair, I share your trepidation with adding more at this time, especially because I don't think we have totally, you know, we haven't gone through the process of figuring out where we want to be at the end of this session. And I think to kind of get rid of whole departments, you've suggested, and then add on another board and commission, that doesn't seem to be in sync with me, Mr. Chair, Senator Daley. So I think that we can do this in a way that we can put an ad hoc group together over the same period of time. It may not cost as much money. We can give the group some authority. You could even be its chair, and we could start marching through that process as opposed to really kind of, I think, sending mixed messages to the public about how government is supposed to act and what size it's supposed to be.
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. You know, I don't want to get deep into the weeds of the fiscal note. This is heading to finance. But I want Mr. Lundeen just to briefly talk about this because what is concerning to me is number B on page 3 saying the high end of the spectrum assumes additional research. And so, Mr. Lundeen, could you just briefly help us out here real quick?
Sure. If you take a look at the fiscal note on the front page, it's what the fiscal note has done is it has laid out two different options here, kind of a low-cost option and a high-cost option. And I think what we've been focusing on is the high-cost option, which is the B, the $257,000, which requires some new staff, some new fiscal staff, some new research staff for this council. But if you take a look at the low end, which starts on page 2 and carries over onto page 3, where it talks about making use of existing staff in the House and Senate and the LCC, and legislative members of the commission not getting reimbursement for expenses and that. And so the $15,000 that's shown on the front page is basically the compensation and expense reimbursements of the public members that would serve on this particular board.
Thank you, Mr. Lundeen. Any further discussion on this? Senator Hayden.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to belabor that, but to that point, I think that the assumptions of kind of how we do it aren't that, and I don't know if we can make this assumption because we haven't gone through the process to know what our boards and commissions and our legislative staff and our departments are going to look like based on the recommendations that you've made to this committee. And so once again, I think that to the point that the fiscal staff has made, I'm not sure we know what this might cost or what we can absorb because we don't know what the composition of our staff will be until the session ends based on what we get out of our subcommittee and then through the legislative process. And so it just speaks to my point. And Senator Daley, I'm sorry, I don't mean to belabor this, and I'm sure it looks like it may get through, but I do think that this might not be the right time to put this bill forward, but it is the right time for us to take a good look at how business and small business is done in the state. So I want to be for the record, I'm for small business. I'm just not sure that we have a process right now in which we are taking a deep look at what our staff, what our composition, what the enterprise is going to look like, and I can't figure out how we add another layer until we get to that point.
Thank you very much. Senator Carlson.
Mr. Chair, I was just wondering if we have other testifiers coming. That's all.
Do we have any other testifiers that would like to? Before I move on with questions, let's bring the testifiers up because they might answer some questions. Please, both of you, please come forward.
Mr. Chairman, as they're coming forward,
I'd
just like to say my intent here is that we have an effective and efficient way for small business owners to communicate and work with the legislature and agencies on regulatory reform. And the focus, the primary focus, is to help free up our job providers to hire more Minnesotans. That's the focus with this. I just saw the fiscal note today for the first time, and I think there are many opportunities we can work through that fiscal note and the staff that's required and how they're paid for. And I would not have this committee's focus on the fiscal note, but on the fact that we want to hire more Minnesotans. That's the focus. This is about job providers.
Thank you. Sir, if you want to state your name, and you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Paul Moe. I'm Deputy Commissioner of the Department of Employment and Economic Development, and here to comment with some concerns we have with Senate File 1614. The administration has expressed some concerns about legislative creeping into what the executive branch feels is their authority and right under the rulemaking process and authority. But let me also comment on some things that you've already heard about, some overlap of the existing rulemaking process that's in place today. We don't get involved with rulemaking a lot, but when we do, there is an arduous process already where we engage the Office of Administrative Hearings, as you've heard, I think, in the past. We submit to them our plan of notification. If they have other suggestions or don't want to approve that plan of notification, they would add that. That office also conducts a rigorous public hearing process for rulemaking authority, so the members of the public have a chance to weigh in on impact of rules and so forth, so that's already in place. And finally, the rulemaking proposers today already have to comment on the impact a proposed rule would have on small business or on municipalities, and they have to identify that in the rulemaking process. We feel that this might add another burden or layer of a process to an already arduous rulemaking process.
Thank you very much. Sure. Senator Wigger.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question to Mr. Moe.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Moe, doesn't your office have outreach programs with small business and other types of businesses? And in addition to impacts on rules and statutes, you're looking at suggestions on improving the business climate. You're looking at suggestions to assist in efforts to retain business. So my point is, you know, there are avenues engaged right now. If you could tell me if my impression's correct and amplify.
Mr. Moe.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Wigger, exactly. We try to engage as many interested parties and stakeholders promoting small business as we can through our small business outreach or assistance office, our small business development centers, partnerships with the chamber and other entities that promote small business job creation in the state.
Thank you. Next testifier, please.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Ken Peterson. I'm a commissioner of the Department of Labor and Industry, and thanks for allowing us to take time to testify the bill. We're sympathetic, like all of you. I'm sure everybody in this room. We're sympathetic with the notion of trying to help small business and trying to prevent onerous regulations of them. We don't like it, and we all have a gut feeling for that sometimes there's too much government in our lives, and we want to get rid of it. Same time, I don't think this does it. This doesn't do the trick. It just adds an unnecessary level of complexity. And I think it could, in some circumstances, not very many, I don't want to exaggerate this, but I think it could end up hurting some small businesses. Because you already have a system. If we can just identify a rule that's bad, tell the department, tell the committee, the legislative committee, and get rid of it. You know, I've had this job now for, 13 months or 13 and a half months, whatever it is. And I've never had anybody call me, a legislator or a citizen or a business or anybody, call me and say, what are you doing with this rule? What's this all about? Why don't you repeal it? No one, not one person has called. And I asked John Rakowski, who's our legislative representative, who's been had the job for 5 or 6 years, and no one's ever called him either. And so if there are real bad rules out there, if we got them, let us know and we'll take care of them. I assure you that, Mr. Chairman, that if someone calls me and says, this is a stupid rule you got here, rule 1643 or whatever it is, we'll do what we can. Because I don't think we should be hurting small businesses. And when we do rulemaking, we're doing the building code right now. For an updating the building code, it has been updated since 2006. We're updating it. We've got about 200 people, volunteers on committees, members of committees, and all those people attending regularly. And they're going through it, the building code, pretty well and looking at it. And these are experts in the area. People know what they're doing, representing most factions of the construction industry, and going through stuff and asking tough questions. Now, not everybody's going to be happy with the results of that, but in 2006, it wasn't contested. No one took it to a hearing, and I'm hopeful to be able to do that this year because you reach sort of a consensus of experts sitting down around the room, talking it through and making the compromises. And then I think after that we'll put it in rule, and hopefully by the end of the year we'll have an effect. But then with this new committee, Senator Daley, I'm concerned if people just they'll leave the experts behind and come and bring it in here, people who may or may not have any construction experience, may not know anything about buildings, and they'll be deciding whether this hurts small businesses or helps it. And in some cases, it may hurt some small businesses, but, we should try to identify those specifically and try to get rid of them. I just don't think that this kind of this overkill, we're throwing the baby out with the bathwater, and I just would recommend that you would look at it very closely and at least think about it, consider it over the interim or something like that. Appreciate your time, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Further... Senator Torres Ray.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Daley, we had similar testimony in the Jobs Committee, and you heard similar concerns. And it seems like we're just not able to convince you and the caucus that really we're adding a layer that is not necessary. I just for the record, I want to tell you that I believe very strongly in what you're trying to do here. I think it's necessary that we do that, but very definitely, either Senator Perry, Senator Michelle can call a committee, and we can do this during the interim, do these reviews of these rules without having to pay $1 million. I want to do this with you. I would love to serve in that committee with you and identify those few rules and work with these commissioners to go over it and bring a recommendation for the next session. We can do that without establishing a new entity. We've done that. I've served in committees, again and again. And during the interim, we have a lot of time to do that work because we're not in session. And it's a perfect thing because we actually have the authority. These boards usually come up with recommendations, and guess what? They come to us, and then we put our staff to do the research to see if we can get it done. That's very duplicative. Our staff is going to have to review these recommendations and see if we can put it in policy. So why don't we get together over the summer, assign our staff to work with us, do the research, figure out if we can change that rule, and work with the commissioners, work with the administration, and come up with a package of recommendations. That's what we have to do, Senator Daley. Believe me, this board is going to only put recommendations that will come to Senator Perry and his committee and say, we want to do this. then we have to do the research. So it has been very difficult for me to convince members to do things in a different way, because you guys vote as a block, and I commend you for that discipline. But this really is something that I hope you hear is important, is reasonable. It will not cost you any money. We have amazing staff here that does incredible research for you, and all you have to do is call them and say, hey, I want to hear about this rule, because this doesn't make any sense and I want to change it. That's all we have to do, and we have that resource available to us any day, anytime, and we have incredible staff. So I'm leaving that for the record, because I think it's important that people know in the public that we've talked about this and that we have recommended this to you.
Okay. Senator Daley.
Mr. Chairman, I move that.
Just a minute. Before you go there, here would be my wish for you. I know, and I'm going to say something that I know I'm probably going to get poked at. I know you're trying to be politically correct and really shoot a shot across the bow for the overreaching of the rulemaking process. And, sir, Mr. Peterson, I find it hard to believe that people have not come to your office. I truly do. I truly do. Whether they start at the lower level and it never gets to you.
Yes, sir.
But I'm going to tell you, I have purposely gone out to farmyards. I'm meeting with another businessman next week. It is running rampant, the feeling that we have uncontrolled rulemaking, overreaching, no concerned rulemaking. And I know, Senator Daley, you're trying to be politically correct and in some ways do an end around and create a committee. There have been great thoughts brought up here today. So I would suggest, if it would be your will, that we lay this on the table, because I have some specific questions that I would like to have answered. And I would just, for myself, and I can share that with the committee, would like to do that and have a period of time, and if we could just lay this on the table for now. Would that be acceptable to you?
Mr. Chair, I can do that.
All right. Thank you. We'll lay this bill on the table. Thank you. All right. This is what we've been waiting for. And so has Commissioner Cronk. We only have about 20 minutes to get through this, Commissioner. Welcome to the committee. We look forward to hearing from you here. As a committee, we are looking to at the Commissioner Cronk here and what he has to say on this confirmation process. So welcome to the committee, Commissioner.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and members. It's truly an honor and privilege to be here before you today. I want to thank you again for having me here for your consideration for my confirmation as Commissioner of Administration. You have some background material in front of you, so I'll only make a few brief introductory remarks and then answer any questions you may have. When I was appointed about a year ago, my charge from the governor could not have been clearer.
His application.
He said that we who serve in state government have an important obligation to improve how it works. Our state government services must provide better value. They must be delivered more efficiently and at lower costs. And throughout my conversations with each of you over the past year, it's clear that you feel the same way. Reflecting this shared commitment, ADMIN revised its mission statement over the past 6 months to read, "The Department of Administration will provide the best value in government administrative services." Within that broad mission, we have identified three priorities relating to customer satisfaction, continuous improvement, and employee engagement. And I'll speak briefly to each of those. Customer satisfaction was important because we operate several different businesses that serve customers throughout state government. We need to rely on their customers to drive the value. Continuous improvement, which you know has been a recent focus for us, we've had efforts that have been successful regarding our lean program and working with partnerships, including with General Mills and the Minnesota Business Partnership. And then finally, regarding employee engagement, you all know that government is in the midst of a major transition, and success will depend greatly on to the extent which public employees can take primary responsibility for reform and in continually improving the value of our services. Through the course of my conversations with each of you, you should have received a copy of a sample of many of the cost savings and service efficiencies that we've achieved over the past year, including reducing facility lease costs by more than $4.5 million through the last fiscal year through effective lease negotiations, and achieving savings and cost avoidance of $3 million in the first 6 months of 2011 through strategic contracting and purchasing. And finally, I want to recognize that I don't stand up here alone. I have a great team behind me in the department administration. We're fortunate to have such capable people working in our agency. There are numerous examples of outstanding service, but most striking to me was the resiliency of employees after the government shutdown, who came back to work in July, never having lost their focus on improving government services. I've been honored to lead such a dedicated group of public servants. Mr. Chair, member, I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Commissioner. I'm going to be the first to speak here because that's my prerogative, I guess, as the chair. You know, Commissioner, I'm going to tell you one thing. The first time I met you, you were my guy. I asked you questions that I totally expected to have somebody dance around the fire and not answer them directly. And so you've left that impression with me from the day you walked in here. I can't, you're like Commissioner Showalter to me. I appreciate it. The citizens of the state appreciate straightforward discussions, whether at times I can imagine that you have some pretty interesting conversations with our governor, because I believe you get it, you understand it, and you are truly working for the all of the citizens. And I just wanted to say that before I let the others speak. Again, you're my guy. I think you're doing a great job right now, and I'll open the floor to anybody else that would like to say anything.
Appreciate it. Mr. Chair, ditto.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Goodwin.
I love
Chair. Ditto.
Senator, thank you. Thank you. Any further discussion?
Mr. Chair, I move to recommend the confirmation of Spencer Cronk to Commissioner of the Department of Administration, and that be referred to the full Senate.
Senator Wieger moves that Senator Wieger moves to recommend the confirmation of Spencer Cronk as Commissioner of the Department of Administration to the full Senate. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Congratulations.
Thank you very much, members and Chair.
Being there's no further business before the committee, this meeting is adjourned.